Accession number 22080, Reel 4.
Mr. Combs, Reel 4. Right, Mr. Combs, we're talking about the stretcher bearers in the first action you were involved in, and you were...
Yes.
You were saying that you didn't, you weren't aware of... weren't aware of them.
No. Well, in that first action, no. I think the padre's name was Parks, but I'm not sure.
Now, in terms of what the regimental aid post could do,
yes,
you were faced with like a seriously injured casualty.
Yes.
Did you have a method of categorising casualties in, you know, like saying these people are seriously injured?
No.
So they'd all be...
No, they'd just be got back, just got out of the line. And
now, when you were rehearsing for the Salerno landings,
yes,
with so-called schemes,
yes,
would you practice this business of process and casualties? Would that be part of what you would... Would you have dummy casualties?
Yes, we did. We did have some first aid sessions when we weren't in the line, yes.
The next big action that the battalion was involved with was Salerno.
Salerno, yes.
What do you remember about the run-up to that?
Well, I remember going up on deck because we were battened down. We were in landing craft called LCIs, weren't they? Landing Craft Infantry. And they were American. And the ramps on these particular ones, they let down sides, both sides. Not like the landing craft tanks or transport. They were these big things, weren't they, that just went down. Yes, I remember going up on deck because we were rather locked down below, really, which wasn't very nice because they were driven by oil and we were sitting just beside the big oil tank. But I went up on deck and I remember looking across and seeing all these little ships almost as far as you could see, full of troops. And then, as everybody knows, going on a bit, it came across the transmitter that the Italians had capitulated, so everybody cheered and thought the war was over. It wasn't.
Did you think it was over? Were you optimistic?
We hoped so.
What was the general feeling about that when did you think you were going to have an unopposed landing at that point?
Well, I think everybody was hoping so, yes. And then the ships moored way offshore a bit, in quite deep water really, waist-high water, and we went down the ramps and up onto the beach. And I remember seeing a lot of people that had been hit. I was told they were the Hampshires, and we went along the shoreline because of mines. To avoid treading on mines. But we went down the ramps into the water, and what the medical section took exception to was that the CO had ordered that we should carry Tommy guns and also our red armbands, which was rather a bad thing, because we could have been shot. Anyway, we got rid of the Tommy guns because he wanted them. They were short of arms. Then we walked along the beach for some way into a wood and settled there for a time. Do you want me to go on beyond that? We settled there. The next thing I remember is that the RAP was in a rag warehouse, just off Salama, and the fighting was going on around us, and I had a call of nature, so I had to go outside the door. It was dark, and I went back in again, and shortly after that we heard the clatter of feet going past the door and the German accents. So it was a case of being nearly caught with my trousers down, but not quite. And I forget what happened after that.
Perhaps it comes, we were talking about the regimental aid post.
Yes.
You talked about how it was almost overrun.
Yes.
Now, you heard these German voices.
Yes.
What happened then? What did you do?
Well, I don't think anything particularly happened. We were there for some time.
But did the Germans actually spot any of the foresters?
Not that I know of it, no.
So what did they do after the...
There was, following the rag factory incident, I remember there was a forester lying out, there was a railway. I remember a forester was lying out on the railway on a line some distance from the REP, and three of us went out to bring him in. One had a white flag and the other two carried a stretcher. But that's the only point I remember about that.
Now, did the Germans honour?
Yes, they did, yes.
Mm. Now, generally, as a general point on the Italian campaign, did the Germans usually honour? Did you feel confident to be able to do that? You know, not necessarily your own personal experience,
yes,
but
no,
were there other examples within the battalion of that happening, or were you...
Yes, yes, I suppose so. there were stories of how they used to put people up against a wall, the Italians, and shoot them, and that did happen on occasions.
What do you mean, the Germans would shoot the Italians?
Yes, but I haven't any first-hand actual knowledge of it, except what the Italians said.
But was that the only incident that you were personally involved in, where you went forward?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
well, not really, no.
Could you describe some of the others then?
Well, the time when the chap blew his head off was the one, but that was some way ahead.
Well, if we could just describe that, you might as well talk about that now.
Yes, well, we assembled in the Leary Valley, which was near the River Rapido, and I think the foresters had something to do with that. We were assembled in the Leary Valley, and I remember seeing for the first time how they destroyed the railways with a huge hook attached to a truck, railway truck, which they pulled along the rails and pulled up all the sleepers. And I remember seeing that. And we moved forward a bit into a sort of barn in the middle of a large area, fields, underneath Casino, which we could plainly see, and no doubt he could plainly see us. But every now and then he sent down a stonk of shells, which didn't actually hit us, but went all around. And one point I've remembered since, well, no, I remembered then, the Padre who we had, Padre Bloor, whom I got to know quite well, and he's since died, he filled a biscuit tin with some water, and he said, well, if the Germans are going to kill me, I'm going to die clean. So he had a strip right down to nothing and had a bath. that was where we stayed for a short time. We had one or two casualties come in, and there were several people who died around the door, but I forget what happened next, really.
And you mentioned this suicide, this example of a man committing
suicide. Oh, that was before we went into this farm building, and before we had the shells all around us. No, it was when we were concentrated in the assembly area, got off the trucks, and we were in an assembly area before moving forward, and then this lad, he was only a matter of about 6 or 7 feet from me, put his head over the rifle and pulled the trigger and blew half his head away. There was another occasion, I forget where we were, somewhere in Italy, somebody came in and said his finger had been shot off by a pill, or blown off by a piece of shrapnel, and he said he'd had his hand on his hat like that, but we were all a little bit doubtful, really. That was his story, anyway. So there were two casualties, definite ones, and one query.
Now, when you had a case of suspected self-inflicted wound, would you fill that in on the form?
As a matter of fact, that's what I've often wondered. I don't know. I don't think we put suspected anyway. We just put gunshot wound or blast wound, right forefinger or something like that.
And so it will be up to people further down.
Yes, that's right, yes.
The chain of treatment to sort that out.
But what I have wondered since is when people took their own lives like that, what's the message that goes back home? Do you know?
What effect did seeing that have on the morale of you and your fellow?
Well, I don't think it had much morale effect because we were just moving forward.
Now, in terms of shell shock cases, so-called bomb-happy examples of that, how would you deal with them then? Would they be taken to the regimental
183. They were sent back to 183 and sometimes further back, CCS and so on.
Would they be seen by the medical officer before?
Yes,
And he would make an assessment?
Yes, yes.
What about before the battalion was going into action?
Yes.
Would there be any kind of medical inspection? You know, would there be exam? You know, men that possibly were going bomb happy at that stage? Would that?
No. They invariably went bomb happy again. But,
Now you've mentioned examples of where the Foresters medical staff went forward under a flag of truce. Have you got any memories of similar things happening with the Germans where you respected their stretcher bearers too?
No. Mm-hmm. No, we had the odd prisoner come in to the REP. But
could you just describe that, your first memory? Because you mentioned earlier that you didn't see any Germans face-to-face in Tunisia.
Well, there was one prisoner came in. He was very young, quite a lad. But he was very spiteful. He spat at us. He'd got a bullet lodged in his shoulder. But he was walking. But he was very, very vindictive.
So what happened after when he spat?
He went back. He went back under escort.
Under an arms?
Yes.
Was he the first German prisoner that you saw, or were there previous ones?
Yes, I think so.
That was the first example of German?
I think so.
Can you remember where that was?
No, I can't, no.
Now, you mentioned earlier medical staff being resentful of having to bring Tommy guns ashore at Salerno.
Yes.
Why do you think the commanding officer, because that was obviously violating the Geneva Convention.
Yes.
You were still wearing the armbands.
Yes. Yes.
So, did people, was that a general feeling that people were resentful? Or
oh, yes, it was, yes.
And how?
It's because they were short of arms.
Now, keeping us at Salerno, at this stage of the campaign, what were the majority of casualties? Were there casualties to shell fire or gunfire? I mean, could you?
No, I couldn't really. You see, Locke would give the figures, not for Salerno, but the Gothic line. It's a logbook that I kept, because it gives details of all the casualties, whether they're gunshot wounds or mine wounds or high explosive or whatever they happen to be.
And where's that now?
Yeah. Wally Minch has got it.
And he's the Secretary of the Shield Forces Association.
Yeah.
So it's probably in the Shield Forces Museum.
Yes.
By now.
Yeah.
Now, at Salerno, apparently, the landing was heavily supported by naval units, by naval gunfire.
Yes.
Do you have any memories of that?
I remember seeing a plane come down on the shore, going up in smoke, and there was a battleship firing, too. But not very much, really, support.
Now, you mentioned that these Germans coming past the regimental aid post, you were almost overrun.
Yes.
Did that ever happen later in the campaign?
No.
Where you were kind of so close to the action that you were
not in danger? Not to my knowledge, no.
So about how far behind the forward troops with the regimental aid post be positioned during an action?
Well, they were pretty near. We were only just hanging on by the skin of our teeth, because the 25-pounder guns were firing from the beach, which was unusual.
Do you have any memories of German counterattacks at this early stage? Because apparently they made a big push.
Yes. I don't recollect any particularly. Because, of course, I'm going back 60 years now. I haven't even got anything written down to the effect.
Now, you mentioned your own casualties coming back, and you mentioned this one German prisoner.
Yes.
Were there any more German prisoners at this period? Would you have a...
No, I don't remember. I don't remember any.
So the landing was established at Salerno.
Yes.
The beachhead was enlarged.
Yes.
What happened to the foresters then? What happened to the regimental aid post then?
I don't remember after the rag factory, where we went. No. I don't. I don't remember anything. Any sequence of events.
Now you've found a chess set which you've got here, which you mentioned off the tape that you constructed.
Yes.
And could you just describe that? Could you just describe, you know, what you made the base out of? Because I think that's an interesting.
Well, the base is made from a compo box, which the signals sort of a square out of a piece of wood for me. And also one of the signals drilled the holes.
And that was a homemade chess set.
And I cut the branches off trees and made it with a jackknife and a scalpel. There were scalpels in the medical kit, not meant to carve bits of wood, but it did in that occasion.
And You mentioned off the tape that you play the medical officer.
Yes. Yes.
Did anybody else?
No.
So you were the only two.
Yes.
What kind of man was he to get on with? Do you think he was affected by? I mean, you were
very particular, but I got on very well with him.
Now, in terms of, you know, you were with the medical aid post for the rest of the war, effectively.
Yes.
Did you ever feel yourself that your experiences, that you were possibly on the edge of nervous exhaustion, did that ever?
No, I didn't.
Did it affect anybody else within that section?
Don't remember, really.
I mean, other veterans have talked about how they could they could sense in their colleagues if, they, if their nerve was, yeah, was going before it actually went. You know, they knew that there was something.
Yes. No, I don't remember. No.
How did you get on with the local Italian civilians?
Quite well, yes. Didn't meet them much until when peace was declared. We moved out of Italy through into Austria.
Oh, well, that's moving us forward.
And that's when I met the civilians.
Now, you, in your manuscript, which you'll donate a copy to the War Museum, but in your manuscript, you mentioned how there was a problem with mail from home.
Yes.
Was that true just in Tunisia, or was it true all the way through the Italian campaign?
No, it was in Algeria.
And what was the problem? That the letters just weren't arriving in time.
The letters weren't arriving, and neither was equipment. My father wrote. I mean, you need not read them, but. My father took it up with the House of Commons, and
this is a letter that your father's written.
Well, the House of Commons chap wrote that to my father in answer to his letter, we're about 3 months without mail. There's no mail at all.
And how did that affect morale? Because obviously you were a married man.
Yes, well, nobody liked it naturally.
Were you able to, before you embarked, were you able to give your wife, well, obviously you didn't know where you were going, but other veterans have talked about how they put like a code, they had like a secret code within a letter. If they said a certain word, it meant they were in a certain context. Was any of that, did you think of any of that?
No, I didn't come across that, no.
And so did the mail situation get better in Italy?
Oh, yes, it did, yes.
So about, you know, about how often would you be able to write letters home?
Well, as far as I remember, when one liked, really. They had to be censored, of course.
Now, by this stage, you mentioned the chess set and being made out of a combo ration box.
Yes.
What did you think of the combo rations?
Very good. Yes, very good.
Now, also, you were in the American Fifth Army, apparently, at this stage.
Yes.
Did you ever have to eat American rations?
Yes. Only once. On the way to Salerno, we stopped at Sicily. What's the name of the capital there? I can't remember it.
Palermo.
Pardon?
Palermo.
That's right, Palermo. Yes, we stopped at Palermo. And we had one meal there, and it was very good indeed.
And that was their rations?
Yes.
But generally no complaints about the combo rations?
Not really, no. No, I don't think so. No, they were quite good.
So, can you remember where the battalion went to? You moved out of the Salerno beachhead. What was the next engagement after that?
That I can't say offhand.
But generally you were moving northwards.
Going forwards, yes.
Now, I know that the battalion went to the Middle East.
Yes, that's right, we did.
Are there any other memories or incidents before you went to the Middle East that you could possibly tell us about?
Before I went to the
Middle East? Before you went to the Middle East, between Salerno and going to the Middle East.
Oh. Well, I came home on Bologna. We were just outside Bologna, and I came home on leave, compassionate leave, for a fortnight at Christmas.
What year was that?
I'll have to look that up.
Right, off the tape, Mr. Coombs, we've been looking at quite an extensive amount of correspondence between your father...
Yeah. Yes.
..and his local MP about the mail situation.
Yes.
Were you aware of... Did you become aware of this?
Oh, yes, very much so.
So your father wrote to you and
yes, and, yes. Because they weren't hearing from me and I wasn't hearing from them. I think it was about 3 months.
Was that unique to you or was that everybody in the Foresters?
Everybody, yes. Mm-hmm.
And what about news from home? Was there?
Oh, likewise, no news. No.
What about news that the army would give you about, you know, situation elsewhere in the
yes,
world?
Yes, I
any
don't.
Kind of news sheet or anything.
I don't remember that. No, I don't.
Can I take your tea, Jeff?
Right, Mr. Combs, you've mentioned the difficulty of getting news from home. And you've just shown me some propaganda leaflets, a German propaganda leaflet called Home News, which you picked up on the battlefield in Italy. What did you think of this German propaganda, and how much was it a regular occurrence to see these leaflets?
Well, rather amusing, I thought, really.
You didn't take it seriously?
No.
What did other people think of the leaflets?
I don't think they thought much of it either, really, had any influence.
What did your officers, was there any policy about this stuff? Were they interested?
No, no.
They weren't scared of you reading this?
I don't think so, no.
And the other intriguing item that you've got is another German propaganda leaflet, which is called Write That Letter, which is and it has a calendar.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What do you think the purpose of that was? I think you explained it off the tape, but what do you think the purpose of that would have been? Write that letter home.
Yes. I don't know, really. Doesn't seem to have any significance, does it?
I think off the tape you're talking about the morale factor of the
days. Yes, yes.
I mean, other veterans have talked about Italy in terms of the Italian campaign.
Yes.
In terms of the hilly terrain and so on, and then the sense yes, of it being kind
right.
of an endless campaign. What were your feelings on...
Very bad, yes. One mountain after another. And then a river. Rivers and mountains.
Did that affect your morale as the campaign went on?
Well, I don't know about morale. It affected one's outlook, rather. Because it was always another mountain.
Did the terrain have an effect on how you were able to treat the casualties in terms of how the casualties are transported? Were you always able to use ambulances to get the casualties back?
Usually, yes, usually. Because they were, and jeeps as well. Jeeps were used quite a lot, because they could go over rough country.
You never had a recourse to mules at all?
No, we didn't. I don't think we did. There were mules, but not by us.
And so, in terms of the actual evacuation of casualties, there wasn't...
It wasn't a problem, no.
Now, you mentioned earlier, so the mail situation that we talked about earlier, that got better in Italy.
Yes.
I mean, was your wife able to send things like, you know, parcels of
I can't remember, really. Mm-hmm. No, I can't remember.
Right, now, apparently, according to the war diary, the battalion, after this quite long period in Italy...
Yes.
...you were sent to the Middle East.
Yes.
Rest. What do you remember about that? What do you remember about the journey to the Middle East?
Well, that was... Actually, I'd been on leave... And when I came back, I don't know how many pulled out, was it a brigade or a division? Anyway, the Sherwood Foresters were not in Italy anymore, they were in Greece.
Oh, no, that's moving us forward to 1945. I'm talking about the very first period.
Well, I thought we went after my first leave. I'd had 2 years, and then I had 2 years more. I thought I didn't come back to Italy, but came back to Greece and picked up remnants of the battalion and went over with them to the Middle East. I thought that's what happened.
Well, just in terms of your memories of the Middle East, if we forget about the actual dates...
Yes.
But apparently the battalion was in Cairo.
Yes, that's right.
What do you remember about that?
Well, there's pictures in that book of football in the desert and me sitting on a stool in the RAP. But there was nothing spectacular, really, except the Arabs. I mean, they were always out to do you down if they could.
In what way?
Oh, swindle.